O Greens, giants of the Imperium's battlefields, imagine facing a towering brute of a warrior, 10 feet tall with rippling muscles, charging towards you with a crude shotgun in one hand and a steel slab shield in the other. He looks like a creature out of humanity's darkest nightmares, but he's actually on your side. And he's grinning ear to ear, happy to follow orders. Welcome to the world of the Ogryn, the Imperium of Man's living battering rams, loyal giants with the strength of a tank and the simplicity of a child. In the grim darkness of the far future, the Ogryn have become unlikely heroes of countless battles. They might not be smart, but Emperor help you if you ever underestimate their heart, their humor, or their raw power. Brute force not working? You're just not using enough of it. This tongue-in-cheek motto sums up the Ogryn approach to life. These hulking abhumans are a product of humanity's own desperate past, shaped by brutality into something fiercely strong, fiercely loyal, and yes, sometimes fiercely funny. In this exploration, we'll uncover the lore of the Ogryns, from their harsh origins and battlefield roles to the legends told about them. Stick around and learn why these big brutes are more important to the Imperium than their tiny brains would suggest. Let's dive into the saga of the Ogryn, one enormous footstep at a time. Born of brutal worlds, the origins of the Ogryn. Before the Ogryn ever set foot on a battlefield, their story began on some of the most unforgiving worlds in the galaxy. Thousands of years ago, during the dark times before the Imperium, back in the Age of Strife, groups of human colonists were stranded on isolated, desolate planets. Many of these were cold, barren prison worlds with gravity so high, it felt like the air itself was pressing you down. On these brutal worlds, it wasn't education or technology that kept you alive. It was raw strength and simple instincts. Over generations, the humans trapped there began to change. They evolved, or rather, devolved, into a new subspecies fit for their hellish home. The result? Homo sapiens gigantus, known to the Imperium as Ogryns. Survival of the strongest was the rule. Those who grew taller, broader, and tougher had an edge. And on these planets, that edge meant everything. Each generation became larger and more muscular, building thick skin and dense bones to withstand the crushing gravity and the constant physical toil. But there was a trade-off. In the struggle to survive, brains became less important than brawn. Higher-level reasoning, complex language, and technological know-how didn't help you find food or fend off predators on these worlds, so those traits faded. Ogryn ancestors gradually lost much of their intelligence and curiosity. Philosophical debates weren't going to fill your belly when you were hungry on a freezing prison planet. What mattered was the next meal, the next shelter, the next fight. In a way, their minds narrowed focus to basic survival, strength, endurance, and loyalty to their tribe. Everything else? Unnecessary baggage. By the time the Emperor's Great Crusade reached these far-flung worlds and reunited them with humanity, the people living there were Ogryns. Massive, hardy, and none too bright, but undeniably human at heart. Think of those ancient Terran legends of ogres or giants. And you've got the right idea. The newly reborn Imperium of Man could have seen these mutated people as abominations to be purged. It wouldn't be the first time humans reacted badly to mutants, but the Emperor and his armies saw potential. Here were warriors born of hardship, with the strength of genetically engineered super soldiers who only needed simple guidance to be effective. During the Great Crusade and the early Imperium, the Ogryn's fate took a turn. They went from prison world survivors to frontline soldiers in the Emperor's expanding galaxy. And the Ogryn, for their part, greeted this destiny with their typical simple enthusiasm. After all, they were being fed, armed, and pointed at a worthy enemy. What more could an ogryn ask for? Big, strong, and not so bright. Ogryn physiology and mindset. If you ever meet an ogryn and live to tell the tale, the first thing you'll notice is their sheer size. The average ogryn stands between 8 and 10 feet tall, around 2.5 to 3 meters, and can weigh as much as a small vehicle. They are walking mountains of muscle and bone. A punch from an ogryn can shatter concrete. An ogryn's hug, given to friend or foe alike, might crack ribs. Their skin is thick like leather. Some say an ogryn hardly notices cuts that would send a normal man screaming. In battle, they've been known to shrug off wounds that would kill a dozen lesser men. Seeing an ogryn charge through gunfire, bellowing at the top of his lungs, is both terrifying and oddly inspiring. You get the feeling nothing, not laser guns, not shrapnel, not even common sense, can stop him. Physically, ogryns often have brutish, exaggerated features, heavy brows, broad, flat noses, and huge hands that can palm a human head like a ripe fruit. Subtlety is not their strong suit. Even their dental hygiene tends to be a war crime. You would not want to smell an ogryn up close after a long campaign. There's a reason some troopers call them stenches behind their backs. But any revulsion a person might feel from their manners or odor quickly gives way to awe when they see an ogryn in action. These big louts are arguably the toughest infantry in the Imperium, short of Space Marines or Terminators, and even the superhuman Astartes would admit an ogryn has them beat in raw physical power. Of course, along with that colossal strength comes the infamous lack of intellect. Let's not sugarcoat it, ogryns are not smart. Most can barely string together full sentences. Reading and writing? Forget about it. An ogryn's idea of literature is recognizing the big I symbol of the Imperium and maybe scrawling his own name, if he's a genius like the legendary Nork Dedog, who famously learned to write the first letter of his name. In many ways, dealing with an ogryn is like dealing with a child, a very large, very excitable child who might accidentally hug you to death. They are easily confused by complex instructions, and they have the attention span of a goldfish in a minefield. If you tell an ogryn to press a red button, you'd better also tell him when and how many times, or Emperor knows what might happen. However, and this is critical, being dumb doesn't mean being useless. Far from it. Ogryns actually have a sort of cunning in things that matter to them. They are savants of survival and war. Their instincts on the battlefield are sharp. They know how to use cover, if it's big enough, how to flank an enemy, again, if the concept is demonstrated simply, and how to fight hand-to-hand with brutal efficiency. It's said that while an ogryn might be outwitted by a doorknob puzzle, he has a keen sense for things like who's on his side, who's threatening his friends, and how to smash that threat into paste. Their brains are described as focused, rather than failed, focused on immediate, tangible realities. Hunger, danger, friend, foe. These concepts an ogryn understands quite well. Abstract ideas like diplomacy, strategy, or why he shouldn't eat that strange fungus growing on the ammo box. Those are harder. Emotionally, ogryns are often very simple and earnest. They tend to form extremely strong attachments to those they trust. Win an ogryn's trust, usually by being a commanding authority, or by doing something kind for them. And you have a friend who will literally walk through fire for you. They are intensely loyal, almost to a fault. This loyalty is often almost childlike in its intensity. Once an ogryn decides you're okay, or better yet, the boss, he'll stick to you like glue and defend you against any threat, without hesitation. Many a beleaguered Imperial Guard officer has survived a battle only because his Ogryn bodyguard shielded him from a grenade blast or hauled him out of a burning bunker. Ogryns love to please their leaders. There's a deep-rooted need in them to obey orders and do well by their littlins, their affectionate term for normal-sized human comrades. Tell an Ogryn he did a good job, and he'll beam with pride. Interestingly, Imperial scholars in the Administratum have spent countless hours trying to classify Ogryn subtypes. There are at least 7 distinct strains of Ogryn listed in official records, with designations like Alpha, Theta, and even mysterious labels like H.S. Gigantus Cranopus, or the elusive Grey Ogryn. Debates rage in dusty offices over whether these are truly separate subspecies or just local variations. It's a very Administratum problem, quibbling over nomenclature for bureaucratic completeness, while the Ogryn themselves couldn't care less, and probably can't pronounce Cranopus anyway. To your average guardsmen in the trenches, an Ogryn is an Ogryn big, loud, and on our side, Emperor be praised. Let the paper pushers have their taxonomy. On the battlefield, all that matters is that these giants are pointing their guns at the enemy. Despite their brute courage, Ogryns do have a couple of quirky weaknesses. One is claustrophobia. These big guys hate tight spaces. They feel uneasy inside armored vehicles or small rooms. Packing an Ogryn into a transport vehicle is usually a struggle. Half a squad jammed into a chimera is a recipe for panic, unless a trusted officer is riding along to calm them down. They much prefer to be out in the open where they don't feel like the walls are closing in. Another issue is their notorious lack of hygiene and discipline when unsupervised. An Ogryn left alone might forget to clean his gear, or himself, for weeks on end, and you can imagine the results. That's why they thrive best under the watchful eye of a leader they respect. Luckily for the Imperium, it turns out the solution to most of an Ogryn's quirks is straightforward. Have a boss around to guide them, keep them busy, and remind them not to eat the ammunition. The Emperor's big guns, Ogryns in the Imperial Guard. The Imperium of Man, ever practical in the face of endless war, quickly realized that Ogryns make perfect shock troops. They're strong, loyal, and utterly fearless, as long as someone they trust points them in the right direction. During the Emperor's Great Crusade, and especially after the Horus Heresy, Ogryns became a common sight in the ranks of the Imperial Army, later the Astra Militarum, or Imperial Guard. Rather than form entire Ogryn-only armies, which could be hard to manage, the Imperium chose to attach Ogryn units to normal human regiments. Think of them as special heavy assault squads loaned out to regiments that need some extra muscle. Nearly any Imperial Guard regiment, from the trench fighters of Cadia to the jungle warriors of Katakhan, might have a squad of Ogryns embedded as part of their force. These Ogryn squads typically come from Ogryn-heavy homeworlds, or from the so-called Militarum Auxilia, the branch of the Guard that handles abhuman troops. While complete Ogryn-only regiments are rare, they do exist in specialized forms, often as penal detachments or auxilia raised on worlds teeming with Ogryn populations. For example, the Imperium once fielded an entire Ogryn unit as prison wardens aboard a penal ship, using retired or injured Ogryn, who were unfit for frontline duty, to keep human convicts in line. It worked brilliantly. The prisoners were far too terrified to rebel under the watch of giant jailers who couldn't be bribed or tricked. Other forces, like the famed Krork Ogryn Auxilia from the Armageddon sector, have supplied pure Ogryn companies to support major war zones. Those brutes were so ferocious and unruly that between battles the Munitorum kept them heavily sedated to prevent any extracurricular violence. Controlling an army of ogrins can be like trying to herd a pack of hungry groks, but when the leash is loosened at the right moment, Emperor have mercy on whatever stands in their path. An ogrin unit in the guard is usually small. A handful of these big guys led by one slightly smarter ogrin. More on him in a moment. They don't need complex tactics or formation drills. In fact, the Imperial Guard's usual approach is to keep it simple for the ogrin. Training basically consists of teaching them to understand a few key commands like charge, hold, guard this, or kill that. Anything more elaborate and you risk blank stares or disastrous misinterpretation. It helps that ogrins are naturally born fighters. They instinctively know how to club an enemy into submission, and with their strength, that's often enough. Imperial tacticians learned that the best way to use ogrins is to point them at the toughest part of the enemy line and let them go to town. Need someone to storm a breached fortress gate? Send in the ogrins. Enemy tanks rolling in and you're out of anti-armor rounds. An ogrin can literally tip a tank if he gets close, or at least rip off its gun barrels. Hostile alien monstrosity charging your lines? An ogrin will happily wrestle it hand to hand while your other troops regroup. One of the Imperium's smartest moves was to indoctrinate ogrins into the Imperial Creed, the faith in the Emperor of Mankind. Ogrins take to the Emperor's worship with a touching, unshakable devotion. In their minds, the Emperor is the big boss in the sky who watches over them and loves them, as long as they follow orders. Each command an ogrin receives, he believes, ultimately comes from the Emperor himself through the chain of command. This makes them astonishingly obedient soldiers. If you tell an ogrin to hold a position by the Golden Throne, he will hold that position until he dies, or someone wearing a bigger hat tells him otherwise. They also have a special reverence for Commissar, those stern political officers known for executing poor human soldiers who retreat. To an ogrin, a Commissar is like the Emperor's personal messenger. If a Commissar says do something, you better do it, because it's practically the Emperor talking. This has led to the rather adorable sight of grizzled commissars becoming almost father figures to their ogrin charges. Woe betide anyone who tries to harm the commissar while his loyal ogrin is nearby. The big guy will tear you apart without a second thought. It's worth noting that ogrin loyalty is a double-edged sword. In the dark days of the Horus Heresy, ogrins fought on both sides of the conflict. The sad truth is that many ogrins who ended up serving the traitor legions did so because they were tricked. Their commanders told them that the loyalists were the ones who had turned against the Emperor. Believing they were following the Emperor's will, those poor ogrins went on a rampage for the wrong side. This tragedy illustrates just how absolute their trust in authority is. If a leader figure lies to them, the ogrin will believe it wholeheartedly. In the aftermath of the heresy, the Imperium learned to keep a close eye on who was giving orders to their ogrin units. If you keep the ogrin pointed at the right enemy, they are the most faithful allies you could ask for. But if someone with ill intent gains their trust, well, you might find an 8-foot berserker smashing down your own fortress door, thinking he's doing the Emperor's work. Brute arsenal, ripper guns, bayonets, and fists. What kind of weapons do you give an ogrin? The simplest and biggest ones, of course. The signature ogrin firearm is the ripper gun. Essentially an oversized shotgun or automatic grenade launcher, depending on the pattern, that's built to be ogrin-proof. A normal guardsman would struggle to even lift a ripper gun, let alone fire it. But in an ogrin's meaty hands, it's like a toy. Ripper guns fire heavy shot or explosive shells at close range, perfect for the brutish style of warfare Ogryns excel at. They even come with a reinforced stock and barrel, because inevitably an Ogryn will use his gun as a club when the ammo runs out, or just because he feels like hitting something. Imperial tech priests literally designed these guns to survive being used as a cricket bat. There's a famous anecdote that without a special fire rate limiter, an excited Ogryn will blow through all his ammunition in the first 30 seconds of a battle, laughing gleefully as he holds the trigger down. So, most Ripper guns have a built-in governor to keep the bursts short, sort of like child-proofing a dangerous toy. Alongside their guns, Ogryns love carrying grenades, sometimes too many for anyone's comfort. A common tactic is for an Ogryn to lob a whole sack of frag grenades at once if one or two don't seem to do the job. Subtle, no. Effective, yes. In close combat, which is where an Ogryn truly shines, they might use a massive combat knife, which in their hands is the size of a sword, or simply their fists. An Ogryn's punch or headbutt is legendary. One renowned Ogryn bodyguard was said to have killed a rampaging orc war boss with a single headbutt, splintering the alien's skull on impact. The Ogryn's own skull, of course, was fine. He probably didn't even feel the difference. Many Ogryns also improvise weapons, chunks of debris, the ripped-off limbs of slain enemies, or anything heavy enough to swing. If it fits in an Ogryn's hand and isn't bolted down, it can be a weapon. As for protection, Ogryns are typically outfitted with giant-sized flak armor, basically scaled-up versions of what human guardsmen wear, offering modest protection against shrapnel and small arms. However, an Ogryn's best defense is his natural toughness. Some commanders joke that flak vests are just there to make the Munitorum, the logistics department, feel better, because an Ogryn hardly notices the difference. In more elite or specialized units, Ogryns might get heavier carapace armor plates strapped to them, especially the variants known as Bullgryns. More on those soon. But your average Ogryn is perfectly content with a flak chest plate, a helmet that looks like a cooking pot, and maybe some shoulder pads. Anything more sophisticated would just slow him down, and the sooner he can close distance to the enemy and start smashing, the happier everyone is. Special breeds of brute, boneheads, bullgryns, and beyond. Not all Ogryns are created equal. Some are slightly smarter, some even bigger and tougher, hard to imagine, and some get specialized jobs in the Imperial War Machine. Let's start with the brains of the operation, relatively speaking. The Boneheads. A Bonehead is an Ogryn who has been singled out for showing the rare glimmerings of leadership ability. Maybe he can count to 10 or remember yesterday's orders today. Impressive feats in Ogryn terms. The Imperial Guard takes these promising individuals and subjects them to the Biochemical Ogryn Neural Enhancement Program, mercifully abbreviated to BONE. Yes, they literally put some bone in the Boneyed's head to make him smarter. The procedure involves implants and chemical treatments that boost the Ogryn's cognitive functions, again, relatively speaking. When it works, the Ogryn comes out of it a bit more coherent, capable of understanding more complex commands and even keeping his fellow Ogryn in line. When it doesn't work, well, sometimes the poor fellow comes out even dumber, at which point the guard quietly shuffles him back to the rank and file and pretends nothing happened. A Bonehead serves as a sergeant or squad leader for other Ogryns. He's the one who can actually interpret the officer's shouted orders and then bellow a simpler version for his buddies. For example, the colonel might scream, "Objective left flank, suppressive fire." The Bonehead will translate that in Ogryn speak to something like, "Go left, shoot." And lo and behold, the Ogryn squad goes left and starts shooting. Miraculous. Boneheads also tend to have a bit more self-control and tactical sense. They might notice if their squad is wandering off or focusing on the wrong target and herd them back on task. Think of a sheepdog, but the sheepdog is also a giant who can personally break the backs of any sheep that misbehave. That's a bonehead for you. Another notable breed of Ogryn is the Bullgryn. If Ogryns are big, Bullgryns are bigger. Where a normal Ogryn might be content with a flak vest, a Bullgryn is decked out in heavy armor plating like a walking tank. The concept was, why not take an Ogryn, who can already soak up bullets, and give him a massive shield and tougher armor so he can soak up even more bullets? Bullgryns carry enormous slab shields. Imagine a portable blast door and you're close. And often wield power mauls, or grenadier gauntlets. A grenadier gauntlet is essentially a grenade launcher built into a club, so the Bullgryn can bludgeon you and blow you up at the same time. Tactical subtlety. Thy name is not Bullgryn. On the battlefield, Bullgryns excel at creating a living wall. A squad of them will lock their slab shields together and march forward, a phalanx of enormous armored brutes soaking up enemy fire. Lasgun blasts, shrapnel, even heavy bolter rounds. They just thud into the wall of shields as the Bullgryns trudge ahead. Meanwhile, behind them, regular guardsmen or other forces get to advance in relative safety, using the Ogryn wall as cover. Once the Bullgryns crash into the enemy lines, they swing those power mauls and giant fists, breaking anything, or anyone, unfortunate enough to be in their way. It's said that when a squad of Bullgryns gets going, they hit like an onrushing cargo train. The downside? Well, turning an Ogryn into a Bullgryn doesn't make him any smarter, and all that armor can make them a bit overconfident and slow to adapt. There are tales of Bullgryn units nicknamed immovables because they'd hold a position no matter what, even if the battle moved on without them. If no one remembers to give them a new order, they'll faithfully guard an empty field all day under fire because that was the last thing they were told to do. Reliable to a fault, literally. Then we have Ogryn bodyguards, sometimes just called Ogryn brutes or oath-bonded bodyguards. These are Ogryns assigned to individual Imperial officers or VIPs to keep them safe. Now, an average Imperial officer might already have a retinue, maybe a commissar, some aides, etc. But stick an Ogryn bodyguard in there and suddenly that officer becomes incredibly hard to kill, unless he trips on the Ogryn's big feet. Bodyguard Ogryns are often handpicked for loyalty and ferocity. They tend to be extremely protective of their little master. If you want a mental image, picture a massive bulldog that's utterly devoted to a tiny owner. That's the vibe. A bodyguard Ogryn will literally use his body as a shield in a firefight, taking hits meant for his charge. Many serve in command squads, equipped with either a slab shield or a special brute shield, plus their trusty ripper gun or grenadier gauntlet. They might also carry oversized close combat weapons. I've heard of bodyguard Ogryns wielding blades the size of helicopter rotors or clubs that could knock the head off a Carnifex. In close quarters, a bodyguard's job is simple. Put himself between danger and his VIP, and then eliminate said danger with extreme prejudice. One legendary example is Nork Dedog, arguably the most famous Ogryn in the Imperial Guard. Nork has served as a bodyguard for countless officers. By Ogryn standards, he's a certified genius. He can form full sentences and count beyond three. His loyalty is the stuff of myth. Nork once dragged a wounded colonel to safety by pulling an armored vehicle out of a ditch because the colonel needed the medkit inside. On another occasion, when a hulking orc war boss charged into an Imperial command dugout, Nork was the only one who didn't flinch. He planted himself in front of his officer and delivered a headbutt so mighty it cracked the orc's skull like an egg. The green-skinned leader died instantly, and the rest of the orcs, shocked at seeing their boss literally skull-smashed by a Tainiumi ogryn, lost their nerve and fled. Nork just brushed off his forehead and went back to checking on his boss. This is the kind of dedication an ogryn bodyguard brings, and why human generals request them despite the logistical challenges and occasional broken furniture that come with keeping a giant around. There are also informal specialties among ogryn squads. For instance, the gun lugger is an ogryn who really, really likes things that go boom. All ogryns enjoy a good loud firefight, but a gun lugger takes it to another level. He's the guy who volunteers to carry the extra ammo, who straps an extra grenade launcher to his ripper gun somehow, or who finds the regiment's portable heavy bolter and insists on wielding it like a rifle. Gun luggers are basically living heavy weapons platforms. Accuracy is, well, let's say spray and pray is their method. A gun lugger in battle is often seen cackling with glee as he fires off a ridiculously high volume of shots, often emptying belt after belt of ammo until everything in front of him is either dead or hiding. Subtle marksmanship this is not, but it's great for morale. Imperial guardsmen fighting alongside a happy gun lugger often feel emboldened by the sheer storm of fear and the louder-than-war-zone laughter coming from the ogryn, and Emperor help anything that tries to charge toward a gunlugger, because he'll gleefully toss a dozen grenades in their path and call it a welcoming gift. Now, not every ogryn in the galaxy is lucky enough to be armed and trained by the Imperium. Some remain on feral ogryn worlds, essentially living in primitive tribal societies. These ogryns often don't even know what a gun is. They fight with spears, clubs, or bare hands, much like one might imagine early humans or even creatures like the infamous orcs. When the Imperium is in desperate need of reinforcements, say a big war is raging nearby, they might send recruiters or press gangers to these worlds to round up some of the locals. A bunch of feral ogryns will be captured, usually not without a fight, chained up and shipped off-world, then essentially pointed at the enemy as raw assault troops. It's a brutal practice. Think of it as taking a tribe of cavemen and dropping them onto a modern battlefield. But it can be effective in a pinch. Feral ogryns pressed into service typically can't comprehend even the operation of a ripper gun initially, so the guard will just give them giant machetes or clubs and say, "Go nuts." They require very careful handling, though, because once in battle, feral ogryns are almost unstoppable berserkers. They don't respond to orders well. They can barely distinguish friend from foe beyond their immediate tribal kin. And they tend to keep fighting until absolutely everything around them is broken, sometimes even after that. Imperial commanders usually deploy them in limited numbers alongside more disciplined troops to avoid total chaos. One or two squads of screaming feral ogryns unleashed at the enemy's flank can be a terrifying shock tactic. Just make sure you have a plan to corral them once the killing's done, or they might wander off looking for the next fight or an afternoon snack. Outside the Imperium, ogryn mercenaries and slaves. While the vast majority of ogryns serve the Imperium of Man, these big brutes can be found in other odd corners of the galaxy, too. Ogryns aren't inherently evil or good. They mostly just follow whoever they trust or fear. This means if an ogryn finds himself outside Imperial supervision, he might fall in with all sorts of unsavory folks, or savory if they give him food. Ogryn mercenaries are a known phenomenon. Rogue traders, pirates, and other renegades have been known to hire bands of ogryn muscle to do the heavy lifting, literal and figurative. It's not that ogryns are motivated by money. Currency doesn't mean much to them, but promised them plenty of food, some shiny new weapons, and the chance to bash heads, and they'll sign on with almost anyone. There are even reports of Ogryns working alongside Orc freebooter crews, which must be a sight to behold, and likely confusing for the Ogryn. These green boys talk funny, but they sure like a good fight, so they's okay. The Orcs probably appreciate the enthusiasm and the extra muscle, at least until an Ogryn accidentally sits on someone important. Even the alien Tau Empire, usually keen on finesse and advanced tech, has made use of Ogryns on occasion. The Tau call them Ogryn in their language, and consider them human auxiliaries, what they term Guevesa. One imagines the Tau Ethereals having a very long debate about the greater good of arming a giant, ill-disciplined primate, but in desperate times they've done it. They issue Ogryn mercs some heavy kit. Rumor has it some Ogryn have been seen wielding cut-down Tau battlesuit weapons and sort of aim them at the enemy with the polite suggestion to smash. It turns out, no matter your ideology, a rampaging Ogryn is a universally useful battlefield tool. Then there's the tragic side of things. Ogryn slaves. In the drudgery of the Imperium's countless mines, factorums, and underhives, Ogryns are often used as slave labor. They're strong, they don't complain much, or at least no one understands if they do, and they tend to obey out of fear or habit. Hive world gangs have been known to keep Ogryns as enforcers or pit fighters. On Necromunda, that infamous hive of scum and industry, Ogryn pit fights draw crowds of spectators betting on how many scrawny gangers the big guy can pulp before he's brought down. In some grim tales, Ogryn slaves have their loyalty exploited cruelly. They'll endure endless toil thinking they're doing good work for masters who actually despise them as abhuman filth. It's heartbreaking if you think about it, which Ogryns mercifully don't. Yet even in this darkness, sometimes their simple decency shines through. There are stories of Ogryns in the Underhive, forming bonds with other downtrodden folks. Even squats, the abhuman space dwarfs, who know a thing or two about being underestimated. In one tale, an enslaved Ogryn, nicknamed Sparky, turned his career as a pit-fighting spectacle into an opportunity to rally other slaves. He ended up leading a revolt in the depths of Necromunda, smashing his way to freedom and inspiring some human workers to join the fight against their oppressors. Sure, it wasn't a grand revolutionary movement, and an Ogryn's idea of a political platform mostly involves platform shoes to stomp on their former masters. But it shows that even an Ogryn knows when things aren't fair, and they'll stand up and put a boot down for their friends when pushed too far. In the end, whether as mercenaries for hire or slaves yearning for freedom, Ogryns outside the Imperium still tend to follow the same pattern. They just want a strong leader or a good cause, something simple to cling to. Give them that and they'll move mountains, or at least mining carts full of rocks for you. The Beast Unleashed, Ogryns Under Chaos. Of course, we can't discuss Ogryn lore without delving into a darker chapter. What happens when Ogryns fall into the wrong hands entirely? The ruinous powers of chaos, ever eager for brute strength to add to their hordes, have often turned Ogryns to their side. Sometimes this happens through the same simple trickery that works on humans. False promises, intimidation, or just being born into a society already worshipping dark gods. Other times, chaos warlords actively capture Ogryns and corrupt them. The result is twisted versions of these gentle giants, chaos-tainted Ogryns, often called Ogryn brutes, who replace that innocent loyalty with frothing madness. Chaos forces have gotten disturbingly clever and cruel in weaponizing Ogryns. One infamous example comes from the nightmare war known as the Siege of Vrax. The traitor militia there turned scores of captured or renegade Ogryns into what the Imperium dubbed Ogryn Berserkers. The process was ghastly. They surgically lobotomized the Ogryn, yes, made them even less self-aware, and implanted drug injectors in their backs. At the push of a button, or the chant of a dark prayer, these injectors flood the Ogryn's body with a cocktail of combat drugs, stimulants to drive them into a killing frenzy, pain inhibitors so they feel no wounds, and psychoactive compounds that erase any remaining sense of fear or self-preservation. Basically, the Ogryn Berserker becomes a living missile of muscle and rage. They'd be unleashed in suicidal charges, wildly swinging fists or crude weapons, soaking up bullets and dishing out carnage until either everything around them was dead or their chemically ravaged hearts finally gave out. The heretical masters of these berserkers didn't expect them to survive the battle. They were one-use shock troops, as terrifying to watch as they were tragic. Then there are the Plague Ogryns, vile creations of the Chaos God Nurgle's followers. If you think an Ogryn's personal hygiene is bad normally, imagine one blessed with the gifts of corruption. During that same Vrax conflict, a Chaos warband called the Tainted took Ogryn slave laborers and used dark sorcery and bioalchemy to mutate them further. They became hulking, rotting monstrosities, bloated with disease, their skin covered in boils and weeping sores, yet somehow even tougher to kill because the power of Nurgle sustained them. Plague. Ogryns shamble forward, absorbing gunfire like sponges and spreading corruption wherever they go. They can literally infect you with a touch. Their bodies crawl with contagion. Cutting one down often just releases a cloud of toxic filth or a swarm of corpse flies. It's a nightmarish version of an Ogryn, still ridiculously strong, still loyal in its own warped way, but loyal to dark masters, and now basically unkillable by conventional means. Imperial records say that after Vrax, the secret of creating plague Ogryns spread to other Nurgle cults, like a depraved recipe exchanged among monsters. Now these things pop up on battlefields as shock units for the forces of Chaos, traded among warlords like demonic attack dogs. Chaos Ogryns come in other flavors too, essentially whatever cruelty or madness the heretics can dream up. Some are fitted with crude cybernetic control rigs. Others are just so brainwashed by Khorne cults that they act as self-driven berserkers without even needing the surgical lobotomy. The common theme is that when Ogryns fall to Chaos, all that positive loyalty and charm is twisted into something truly horrific. It's a loss that even battle-hardened Imperial troops lament, because most people in the Guard have served with a loyal Ogryn at some point and know them to be good lads at heart. Seeing one turned into a chaos-fueled, man-eating monstrosity is just wrong. Yet it happens, and when it does, the Imperium will put them down mercifully if they can with bolter, flame, and righteous fury. After all, there's nothing more dangerous than an enemy that's as strong as an Ogryn, but has none of the selfless spirit. Only bloodlust. In summary, Chaos can corrupt anything, even these simple, loyal giants. The story of Chaos Ogryns is yet another cautionary tale in Warhammer 40K. In the grim darkness of the far future, even the big cuddly guy who just wants to follow orders can become a terror if the dark gods get their claws in him. It's perhaps testament to the Ogryn's nature that the ruinous powers usually have to resort to such extreme measures, surgery, drugs, sorcery, to make them into effective chaos tools. If left to their own will, most Ogryns, even misguided ones, might just sit down and wonder where their commissar friend went. But in the hands of a twisted master, an Ogryn becomes the ultimate blunt instrument of evil. Tales of Legendary Ogryns. We've already met one legendary Ogryn, Nork Dedog, in our journey. But he's far from the only famous big guy stomping through the annals of Warhammer lore. The Ogryn have surprisingly produced a few memorable heroes and anti-heroes. It's worth highlighting a couple more to show the range of what these characters can be. First up, Cassia, the Ogryn who did the impossible. Imperial doctrine long held that Ogryns are too dim to become psykers. They just don't have the mental spark to manipulate the warp. Cassia proved everyone wrong. Born as a slave worker and thrown into a penal military unit, she discovered her psychic powers in the heat of battle, using telekinesis to save the life of her commissar during a firefight. Normally, an Ogryn manifesting psychic talent would be executed on the spot, for heresy, mutation, you name it. The Imperium is not open-minded about these things. But in Cassia's case, fate intervened. An Inquisitor took interest in her. He whisked her away into his retinue instead of letting her be put down. Over time, this Ogryn woman learned to control her abilities and even, get this, taught herself to read and write. She chose the name Cassia for herself and started keeping a journal, scribbling down her thoughts in surprisingly elegant handwriting. The Inquisitor and even a grizzled Space Wolves rune priest, essentially a Space Marine psyker, helped train her. Cassia's story is almost unheard of. She defied the limits imposed on her species. It's like a dog learning to speak in full sentences, join the chess club, and then dabble in telepathy on the weekends. In universe, some attribute Cassia's sudden emergence of psychic talent to the upheaval of the Great Rift, a galaxy-wide warp cataclysm. But whatever the cause, she stands as proof that even an Ogryn can hide unexpected depths. She remains fiercely loyal to her Inquisitor mistress, and you can bet that if a demon needs bashing or a comrade needs psychic shielding, Cassia's there, giant, gentle, and glowing with power. Going back in time, legends speak of an Ogryn known as Cork the Barrack Balderstone, who served in the Imperial Army during the Great Crusade era. True to his nickname, he was as big as a barracks and supposedly just as tough to destroy. Tales say Cork held a bridge against an entire enemy platoon single-handedly, using a broken turret as a club. It's hard to separate myth from fact that far in the past, but the Imperial Army's records do hint at entire Ogryn units earning distinction in those early days, and Cork might well have been one of their champions. From more recent times, there's the story of Urok of the Katakin, 233rd. Urok was a standard Ogryn trooper attached to a Katakin jungle fighters regiment. Katakins are tough as nails human soldiers. He considered the Katakins his family, calling them the Little UNs. In one campaign, Urok's closest human friend, a veteran Katakin he adored, was shot and killed by a group of marauding orcs. The soldiers said they'd never seen an Ogryn cry before, but Urok wept for days, inconsolable. Then his sadness turned into a cold, simmering rage, a dangerous thing in an Ogryn, as you might guess. In the next battle, Urok went off script. Normally obedient, he broke formation and launched himself at the orcs with reckless abandon, determined to avenge his fallen friend. His officers were alarmed. A rampaging Ogryn can derail any battle plan. But in this case, Urok's fury led him to slay a huge number of orcs almost single-handedly. He tore through the greenskins like a man possessed, or perhaps like a loyal hound avenging his master. After the dust settled, the Katakans gently brought Urok back into the fold. The loss he felt had made him aggressive, yes, but he remained their loyal big friend. The story of Urok is often told to new recruits to illustrate that Ogryns aren't just mindless drones. They feel deeply, and Emperor help you if you make an Ogryn angry for the right reasons. Ogryns may have started as an evolutionary accident on forgotten prison worlds. but they've become an indispensable part of the Imperial story. In a galaxy of super soldiers, aliens, and monsters, it's ironic and heartwarming that sometimes the day is saved by a big, uncomplicated fellow who just wants to do as he's told and protect his friends. They encapsulate a certain paradox of the Imperium. In a civilization that often crushes the weak and demands genetic perfection, these imperfect abhumans earn honor and respect through simple virtues, strength, loyalty, and courage. As we wrap up this journey through Ogryn lore, picture one last scene. A battered Imperial Guard platoon making a final stand, laser guns overheating, foes closing in. And at the forefront, an Ogryn stands, planting his feet like a living shield. Bullets ricochet off his bulk. He's scared, in his simple way, but he won't let his little friends down. With a roar of, "For the Emperor!" he charges one more time into the fray, because that's what the Emperor's told him to do. It's both absurd and inspiring, and it's quintessential Warhammer 40K. In the end, the Ogryn remind us that heroes aren't always noble knights or brilliant tacticians. Sometimes a hero is a dim-witted, kind-hearted giant with a gun in one hand and a grin on his face, doing the best he can in a cruel universe. And Emperor bless him for it.